So we go into inventory and we take a piece of raw steel and we roughly cut it into the size that it's going to need to be. From there, it goes to the paint shop where it's painted, sandblasted, coated with corrosive materials, and then brought out to the dry dock. The defective portion is cut out and sold, and then the part that was manufactured is secured to the rig. It's welded to the rig in a process known as field fitting. And here what's happening is we are beveling the edges of our product and beveling the edges of the hole in the rig that's left when we cut the corroded portion out, so that these two pieces, the part and the rig hull, lie flush with each other, and then welds are made inside and outside to secure that steel plate to the rig hull. The welds are sanded down. It's repainted and recoated, and then it's ready to be inspected for certification to drill. So that's what's happening in Gulf Copper. Now, Gulf Copper does this type of work using both its own employees and independent contractors, and it pays these independent contractors on an hourly basis. Well, Gulf Copper claimed a cost of goods sold subtraction for the payments to these hourly contractors, but the controller said, wait a minute. You Gulf Copper, cannot qualify for the revenue exclusion under real estate activities for two reasons. First, these are hourly contracts. They're not fee-sharing contracts, and therefore they don't qualify. Second, the controller said, look, you don't have a sufficient connection to a well site. Gulf Copper, what you're doing is you are repairing a rig that's not even out at the site yet. As a matter of fact, there may not have even been a drill site designated, although for the most part, when Gulf Copper gets contracts, the drilling plans are already in place. They have to know where to drill so they know how to ready the rig for the particular environment in which it's going to sit and into which it's going to drill. So the controller said hourly contracts don't qualify. Moreover, you are too far removed from the site to qualify. The Supreme Court rejected both of those challenges. First, it said the payments to hourly workers, independent contractors, do qualify as flow-through funds. And it said so because there is a contract that compels Gulf Copper's customers to pay Gulf Copper for the work done by Gulf Copper, which includes the subs' works. And then Gulf Copper is in turn obligated to pay the hourly subs the amounts due to them. And that is sufficient to satisfy that requirement under the statute. Next, the court turned to the proximity question raised by the comptroller and said there is sufficient proximity to the real estate site, and therefore the payment does qualify for this revenue exclusion. And in making this determination, the court first focused on the words in connection with and determined that these are words of expansion, and they are intended to not require just a simple direct connection, but something broader and more indirect. And then the court noted that the revenue exclusion applied to both actual and proposed work. Actual and proposed construction. Drilling is a form of construction under Texas law. And the Supreme Court reasoned that by using the term proposed, our legislature contemplated that you did not even need to have a construction site in existence before this provision could apply, and therefore found that Gulf Copper's proximity to the site was sufficient. And it said, so long as the work that the independent contractors are doing is a necessary component to enable these rigs to drill specific wells, then the payments to them would qualify. A few notable comments. First, earmarking of the funds that come in from customers is not required. The comptroller had indicated at some point that those funds had to be traced, and the court said no, that that's not a requirement. The court also rejected the comptroller's position that an ordinary real estate contract could never qualify for the real estate activities revenue exclusion. But the court said no, ordinary real estate contracts are sufficient to meet those flow through fund requirements. And then finally, the court said that work done away from the site is payments for that work will qualify. Because of that in connection with and that proposed language we just saw in the rule. Okay, next, let's talk about cost of goods sold. Now, the Supreme Court handed down the Gulf Copper case, which we just discussed, and two more in early April. Gulf Copper dealt with both the revenue exclusion and the cost of goods sold subtraction. The other two dealt just with the cost of goods sold subtraction. So here we're going to talk about the three cases that deal with cost of goods sold. So starting with cost of goods sold, the first thing we ask is, as a threshold matter, are we talking about a deduction or a subtraction? Now, we're not just mincing words here, that these are legal terms, and these legal terms have significance, legal significance. The courts have held that when faced with a deduction, the courts are to treat a deduction as the equivalent of an exemption. And exemptions, which the courts consider to be the antithesis of equality, cause the courts to impose strict standards on the availability of the deduction or the exemption. So the deductions or exemptions are strictly construed.